It always seems to be an odd sort of thing as we're preparing for Christmas and the baby in the manger and we've got presents under our trees and holly branches and you name it, we're decorating like crazy and we're baking even crazier and fruit cakes and all those things that you get in the mail that come to you like cards and letters and it's Christmas. Why is this first Sunday of Advent not about this wonder and joy that Christmas is? And I'm thinking, maybe, just maybe, the people who created this thing that we call the Revised Common Lectionary, who call this the first day of a whole new Christian calendar, who give us the Gospel of Luke for the course of this year, maybe, just maybe, they want us to remember that, yes, Christ has come, but what our hope is, what our hope is for, is his second coming. That we are always in a period of Advent, in a period of expectation, in a period of waiting for the second coming of the Son of God. So the scriptures on this first Sunday in Advent point us to that projected future. That they make us ask ourselves the question, where do you place your hope? Where do you place your hope? And as I read these words, and you may have followed along in your pew Bibles, you may have heard those natural disasters that we've been experiencing of late. The tsunami that they predicted might happen in Alaska because of the earthquake in Alaska. And we've seen in the news the earthquakes that have happened across the seas. And we've watched in horrific wonder, if we can call horrific things wonderful, the fires in California, and wondered as they sifted through those dusty remains how many human remains they may find. And we still get in the news the recovery that's happening in Florida, in South Carolina, and in North Carolina from the devastation of hurricanes. So we might think as these natural disasters upon natural disasters pile up that maybe his coming is very near. So where do we place our hope? Do we place our hope that we're all going to get to heaven? Do we place our hope in what does it mean to have God with us in the midst of disaster? What does it mean to be someone who follows Christ? Someone who loves God with all their heart and all their mind and all their spirit? Living in this world today, knowing the promise that God will come again and restore God's kingdom to God. That not only will we be restored, but all creation will be restored. Do we have that hope this Advent season? Or is our hope simply to get through this mortal life so that we can live with Jesus in heaven? Or are somehow both of them part of the whole hope that is heaven and earth, as we prayed in the Lord's Prayer? Do both those things need to be part of what we have hope for? Hope to be reunited with those we love in heaven, but hope for God's world that it too, that God doesn't leave anyone behind here on earth. Or that earth will be restored to what it looked like in Eden. Because the promise is real. Hope is real. God has promised redemption. Redemption, his redemption is drawing near. And he promises us that his words will not pass away. And I was thinking about that in terms of this whole picture of all of these things that are those visions of the prophets and the vision in Revelation of the turmoil of this mortal world that needs to be brought into order through God's power and will. That every year since Jesus walked the earth, I believe there's been someone who said, near must be tomorrow because this is happening. And then during World War I, people must have been saying, near must be tomorrow because This war is happening, this war to end all wars. And during World War II, especially when you know, all these deaths were occurring and the horrors of that happened in World War II, people who were followers of Jesus must have said, the end must be near because look what's happening. Throughout history, we have wanted to take the things of the world and say, these are the signs that it is near. But do we think in human terms of what near is? Is the near that the scripture talks about God's timing? When he says to us in this particular passage, be alert at all times, that it may come the day that does not catch you, that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. So the issue isn't how near God's coming is. The issue is that we believe God is coming again and redemption is near and the world will be made right by God only through the will of God and only by the power of God. But our task, while we have breath in our bodies, blood in our veins, our task is to live expectantly into this future, to live in such a way that we become that light of hope for people who are hopeless, that we become the shining light of love for people who feel unloved, that we become the joy in someone's heart because joy has left their lives, that we become the peace in our communities that do not know peace because we stand firmly in the will of the Lord. And that we know that redemption is near. And we know what redemption means because we have received it. The kingdom of God dwells within us. We know what that feels like. We know what it's like to have hope in a world of despair. We know what it's like to have peace in our hearts when there's chaos all around us. We know what joy truly feels like. And we know what it means to be loved by our Savior. Redemption is near, and there are many who need to know all of those things. Where do we place our hope? Do we place it in this word? Or do we place it in the words that people spread on social media? Or the words that come out of politicians' mouths? Or the words of the latest commentator or the latest late-night comedian? Where do we place our hope? Do we place it in our bank accounts? Do we place it in our employment? Do we place it in people? All of those places are going to fail us at some point. The only place that our hope needs to reside is in the promise of God, the promise that came to earth as a baby in a manger, the promise that died on a cross for us and rose, the promise of his coming again in glory. So this week, consider where you place your hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.